as I said before, I'm going to turn it over now to Reverend Griffith. He's, as many of you know, maybe all of you know, he's the son-in-law of Ed and Jenny Western. He's a Cumberland Presbyterian preacher. He lives now in the South Pittsburgh area?
South Pittsburgh, yep.
Close enough then. So we're pleased to have him with us. He came, I don't know, was it June you came here the first time? And mm-hmm. And did a kind of children's program. And like I said earlier, they were just thrilled with how he did things. And he did some magic, and he tied what he did in with the Word of God. And the kids really got a lot out of that, I think. And so we're proud to have him here with us again today.
Thank you much.
So good luck.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you.
Amen. Whenever I do a gospel illusion show, I make sure people know how the tricks are done, because I never want them walking away going, that preacher was doing magic. So I make sure that all the kids knew how some of the tricks were done. Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Hear in the word of the Lord. Wow, that's awful loud. Y'all hear me fine out there? Is anybody across the street? Y'all open the doors. They'll hear me just fine. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. This is the word of the Lord from Jesus Christ. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and none shall perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. None shall perish. Never perish. Love the word depends on what translations you're doing there, but I hope you understand what Jesus is saying here. As I was putting this sermon together today, one of the things that I came across, and as I was looking at it, and this takes me back a little bit, but as I was putting this sermon together and thinking about it, I love the fact, the title. All hail the power. All hail the power of Jesus' name. For there's no other tongue under earth that mankind can be saved but who?
Jesus.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. That name of salvation. That name of redemption. And here we're looking at this morning the power behind salvation as it pertains to Jesus. So now, let me start off just for a moment. How many people in here believe in Jesus as the Lord and Savior? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is for you this morning. And it's also for folks who don't know Jesus, but this is for y'all this morning specifically. In the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, we have a doctrine called the preservation of believers. Some others call it perseverance of the saints. I like Jesus. He says everlasting life. What's what we're looking at this morning. That doctrine in our confession isn't something we just haphazardly came up with and then plopped it down in a book. It comes from the Bible. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the lips of Jesus. We're going to be looking at preservation of the believers, and we're going to be looking at how Jesus taught it. Now, the context of today's sermon goes from verse 25 to verse 30. Y'all might want to look at that context, especially verse 30, because you want to see the power of Jesus' salvation. Where it comes from? Verse 30. My closing passage of Scripture today will be Matthew 7:17. But keep your finger in John chapter 10, verse 28. John 10:28 is where Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, never. And no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Power here, if you look at those words, meditate on them, concentrate just for a moment on what Jesus is saying. And this is how we're going to break this verse down. First thing we're going to look at is when Jesus says, and I give unto them the phrase, eternal life. Some translations might say everlasting life. That's fine, same thing. Second thing we're going to look at, number two, is never perish. Never perish. Third thing we're going to look at, number three, the hands of God, the hands of Jesus, who holds us, and nobody can pluck us out of His hands. So as you're looking at that verse there, focus for a moment as we dig into it. First thing I want you to recognize is when Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life. This is important to y'all. Who gives us eternal life? Is it us and Jesus, or is it Jesus? It's Jesus. The Bible is clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest anyone should boast. We are given salvation by Christ. He paid the sin debt in full. He went to the cross. He paid for it all. It's not us and Jesus. Our salvation is all of Jesus. So when Jesus says, "And I give unto them," that's important. Because think about and know this for a second. Jesus, when Jesus is using these words, here's something you'll never hear Jesus say. Oops, did I say that? You're not going to hear Jesus say that. You're not going to hear Jesus go, "Ooh, I didn't mean to use that word." No, Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. And when Jesus says something, y'all, that's it.
Amen.
He's got the power of the words there. And when Jesus uses a word, there's depth, there's power, there's meaning, and there's reason why he's used those words. So when Jesus starts off, says, "I give unto them," I, Jesus, the great I am, God Almighty in the flesh. He knows what he's talking about. Second thing, Jesus says, "I give unto them eternal life." Some might say everlasting, some might say, that's fine. Same understanding. But what is that understanding for everlasting or eternal life? What does it mean? It means forever, unbroken, unending, doesn't stop. And this isn't the first time that Jesus has used this. No, if we went to John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. How many people know John 3:16? "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have..." Guess what? It's ongoing. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus about salvation. He's bringing it up right there. It goes on forever. It's unbroken. It's unending. If we go over to John chapter 4, guess what we're going to find in John chapter 4? Jesus with the woman at the well, guess what he tells her? Everlasting, eternal life doesn't end. This is important. Now, and then I'm going to bring up an if. If we could lose our salvation, then Jesus was wrong. If we could lose our salvation, Jesus used the wrong words. He should have talked about a limited atonement. A partial redemption. Y'all, is Jesus wrong?
No.
That means when he said everlasting, when he says eternal, guess what? It is what it is because God has spoken as the end of it.
Amen.
Everlasting, eternal life. So who gives us eternal life? It's Jesus. And when we have it, when we're born again, new creation in Christ Jesus, it starts now when we believe. And it goes on forever. It never stops. But now, something important, Jesus reemphasizes it with a second never-ending statement because he says, "Never perish." Now that word perish is important because if we think perish, we think like vegetables rotting. Oh, it's begun to perish. No, this is a nice King James word. It's used in John 3:16. It's used in Luke 13:5. And it's the word in the King James for hell. So what Jesus is saying there, if you believe in Jesus, he's given us eternal life. Guess what? We never go to hell. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
So now you have two statements of eternity, of everlasting, of never ending. And this is important because, I'm going to say if again. If we could lose our salvation, then it's possible every time we lose it, we could go to hell and Jesus would be wrong again. Y'all, is Jesus ever wrong? So when Jesus says you will never perish, how many people in here believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Amen?
Amen.
Then you'll never perish. You'll never go to hell. You ain't got to worry about it.
Amen.
Who said that? Me? No, my opinion means nothing. Word of the Lord, who said that? Jesus said that. Never perish.
Amen.
There's a little more here. This is just one verse I want you to leave out of here this morning. John chapter 10, verse 28. That's a powerful verse of Scripture. He also says, after never perish, what? And neither, or in some verses, neither can any man pluck them out of my hand. Y'all, this is important. Jesus being God Almighty in the flesh, Jesus has the power of redemption, power of salvation, power of taking somebody who is spiritually dead, making them spiritually alive. Who has the strength to take us out of the hands of God? Put your hand down back there. No. Who has the power to take us out of the hands of Almighty Jesus, who has all power, all knowledge, wisdom, creator? Who has the power to take us out of his hands? Nobody. You stop and you think about it for a minute. If somebody had that power, they would have to be equal to the power of Jesus. Now, Satan likes to think he has that power, but he doesn't.
Amen.
And this is important because if we could lose our salvation, then we are saying we have the power to take ourselves out of Jesus' hands. So we're as strong as Jesus? What's the answer to that? It's a two-letter word. No. No, we don't have that power. Because when Jesus says no man can pluck us out of his hands, that means us too.
Amen.
You have a threefold statement in John 10:28. You have a threefold statement. And I give unto them eternal life. That's the first statement. Eternal life. Everlasting life. It goes on forever. Second phrase here. Never perish. Never means what? Never. Third phrase used here. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus uses a threefold statement here to emphasize, reemphasize, and drive the point home. When you are saved by Jesus Christ, you are once saved, you are always saved.
Amen.
Preservation of the believers. Who keeps us continuing in our salvation? It ain't me. And it ain't you. When Jesus says you will never perish, it's because we're in his hands and he keeps us going. Y'all, let's be honest. If it was left up to us, what would happen? We'd all fall in sin. We all know ourselves. Thank God Jesus has us. Thank God he's holding on to us. Here's a few things that y'all can be strengthened by. When you believe in Jesus Christ, number one, take this as a strength. You can't lose your salvation. Thus saith Justin, no, thus saith the word of the Lord, John chapter 10, verse 28. It's Jesus who said that. And he said it three times. He hammers it home, this one verse. And if you look at verse 30, what gives him the power to do that? He and the Father are what? One. He's got the power of God because he is God Almighty in the flesh. So take it as a strength. You believe in Jesus. You've confessed him as your Lord and Savior. You've said, Jesus, I have sinned. Forgive me of my sins. Take me out of being dead in sin. Father, please, in the name of Jesus, make me alive in Christ. Then you are saved by the power of Christ. You've confessed his name before others. You believe in Jesus. You don't lose that. Second thing. So take strength in that. Take power, take heart, and take the strength of Jesus in that, not your own strength. Second thing that goes along with this, and this is important. Tell somebody. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, we're to go forth teaching people the things of Jesus. Well, guess what John 10:28 is? It's Jesus teaching people. Tell somebody about this everlasting, this never-ending, this not going to hell, held in the secure, safe hands of Jesus' salvation. The cults are out there teaching people left, right, and sideways. They're teaching them false gospel. They're teaching them false doctrine. We've got teaching of the world, how the government will do all it can for you. Hey, y'all, let's go out and teach them about the power of Jesus to change life, to give us direction, to give us hope, to give us comfort, and most importantly, it'll never end. When Jesus has you in his hand, that safety, that security, it is there forever, and you don't lose it. That direction for our life doesn't come in and go out. Jesus is there. It never goes away. Do y'all think the people of the world need to hear this?
Amen.
Yeah, they need to hear it. How often do they need to hear it? A lot. Share it with them. Share it with them. Share it with your lips, share it with your life. Share it with your life, share it with your lips. Reach out to somebody with care and compassion. Now, there are folks out there who say, oh, so you're saying once you're saved, this is my third and final application here. There are people out there who say, oh, so you say you're saved, so you get to live in sin and go to heaven. You get to do whatever you want to, lie, cheat, steal, murder, commit adultery. You can do all that and go to heaven. Is that right? Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 17. By the way, the answer is no, you don't get to do that. Everybody turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 17. Once we are saved, we are always saved. Once saved, always saved. But you all know this as a truth. We weren't saved to a life of unrepentant sin. We were saved to a life in Christ. As you look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, know this as a truth. Good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit.
Amen.
When we are saved and bear the fruit of repentance. We bear the fruit of Christ. We bear the fruit of a life that's no longer dead in sin, but alive in Christ. Amen. We aren't the bad trees. We are saved not unto a life of unrepentant sin. We are saved unto a life of grace and mercy. We are saved to a life in Christ. And this is why when people say that to me, I say, no, I'm saved. And once saved, always saved. Because I am saved in Christ. And my life is to bear the fruits of it. Or is that to say we're perfect? Oh. But that's why there is the fruit of repentance. And that's a good fruit from a good tree. So I say this before, because I know not anybody here. I really don't. If there is somebody here today who would like to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, who would like to take that step of faith, come down front today, talk to me. We'll pray together. Ask one of the elders or Sunday school teachers here later on if you want to. Talk to them about receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or come down front. Whatever the Lord leads you. If you just want prayers of any kind, by all means, come down front. But as I begin to conclude, remember this. We need to all hail the power of Jesus' name.
Amen.
For there is no other name under heaven by which anybody can be saved. Not Buddha, not Allah, not Vishnu. There is one God in heaven.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's the only name for salvation. And let's all hail the power of that wonderful name. I'll close us in prayer. Father God, we love you. We love you with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You have given us the power of that love. For Father God, we were dead in our sins and trespasses and incapable of it. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you empower us to keep on loving you. Father God, I pray you take the folks here who love you, Jesus, and that you use them as a powerful witness to go forth proclaiming the truth that when we are saved, we'll never perish. When we are saved, it is everlasting life. And when we are saved, no man can pluck us out of your hands. And all God's people said, Amen.